worship. It helps us prepare to go into God's Word. I'm so thankful. So thankful for the Lord and what He is doing and what He's done. Children's Church, thank you. Children's Church, anybody that needs to go out for Children's Church can go right now. So if you're a candidate for that, it is time. But we're going to be looking at this morning, the God of the second chance. The God of the second chance. So grateful that He is a God of the second chance. How many people could say amen to that this morning? Amen, and He's the God of the second chance. You know, we're going to be back in Jonah chapter 3, 1 through 4. And we're looking, if you remember, it's been a couple weeks. Homer, he preached last Sunday at homecoming. And then he was standing on the beach fishing. Hey, somebody help those poor kids. Thank you, Jennifer. He's standing on the beach. If you remember, the fish has just vomited him up. I'm sorry, but that's what it says. And he's standing on dry ground. I'm thinking, can you see him standing there dripping, thinking, wow, what just happened, you know? And so I think that he probably got back in the water, washed off a little bit, don't you, to get some of the slobber off? I don't know. But we won't add to Scripture. But we pick up in chapter 3 of God, and we're going to be looking at Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Let's stand to our feet. And we'll reverence the reading of God's Word. Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And the Word of God says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Father, thank you. I pray in Jesus' name that you'll just take our time. Lord, that you'll show us what it is you're trying to teach us. Thank you for being the God of the second chance. I pray if there's somebody in need of that second chance this morning, that this message will touch their life, Lord. I thank you for the second chance that we've got in our own life. Lord, we're so overwhelmed with your goodness. So we're asking you just to hide me behind the cross. May your word go forth in Jesus' name and for his glory. We ask this. Amen. You may be seated. You know, the heart and compassion of God should never get old to us, should it? Think about all throughout Scripture, we see how God takes the garbage and the mistakes of people's lives, and he corrects it and forms it into something that's very beautiful. Think about some of the names this morning. Think about Moses. Moses was a murderer. And yet God made him a great leader. Elijah, he was a whiner. Lord, I'm the only one. And yet God recommissioned him and still gave him a message. Think about David. David committed adultery. And yet he was still king. And the lineage of Christ came through him. Think about Peter. Peter denied Christ. And yet he became, at Pentecost, became a great preacher for the Lord. The very people that had crucified the Lord, he preached the message. And then think about Paul. Paul was a persecutor of the church. He became a great apostle, didn't he? Writing 13 books of the New Testament. Aren't you glad God's the God of the second chance, that he has compassion this morning? I'm so thankful that I serve a God that's that way, that he gives us a second chance on life, and that sometimes we mistake. Now, you might be one of those people that are beating yourself up here this morning, that are thinking, you know, I've made mistakes and there are things in my past that God just, he couldn't use me. That's a lie from the pit, from Satan. I want you to know this morning that God can use you right where you're at. And he is the God of the second chance. I want us this morning to look at three characteristics of our second chance God this morning. First characteristic is, he is compassionate. Look at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, our God is compassionate. All through the Scripture it talks about the compassion and the mercy of God. In fact, the Hebrew, the Greek and the Hebrew, compassion means to have mercy or to feel sympathy or to have pity. Aren't you glad that we serve a God in that way? Psalms 86:15 says, But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. That's our God. He's compassionate, our second chance God. And I want you to see that even in Jonah's disobedience, when he ran from God and God now had wore him out, disciplined him. Now he's standing on the beach, and here God comes back again. And he said he came to Jonah a second time saying, aren't you glad he's compassionate? Charles Spurgeon said, faith and obedience are bound up in the same bundle. He who obeys God trusts God, and he who trusts God obeys him. Don't tell me you trust God today if you're not obeying him. Jonah, he knew God and he knew the compassion of God so much so, and we'll see that it's in chapter 4, that he ran from God. He was completely disobedient. But yet here he stands on the beach in fish slime, and God's really commissioning him again. He's giving him a second chance. Praise God. No greater picture, if you think about in the Scripture, of our compassion and our second chance God than the prodigal son. We know that story. Luke 15:20, when the son comes and he says, the younger son says, I want my inheritance. And he tells the father, and he takes an inheritance, and he goes in a far country, and he blows and he squanders it to the point that what's he done? He ends up feeding the pigs, feeding the swine. In fact, he was so hungry, he started thinking, man, them pods look awful good that them pigs are eating. And then it says, when he came to himself, when he came to himself and realized, wait a minute, my father has servants back home, and here I am wanting to eat pig slop. I can go back home to him, and I can eat. He'll take care of me. And you know what it says? I love that picture. When he arose and he came to the father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced and kissed him. Instead of a beating, that prodigal son got a banquet, didn't he? What a compassion of our God today in the picture of the prodigal son. That when he was a long way, can you see God? I'm telling you, my friend, when you turn back to God and you come back to the Father, he comes running to you. He loves you and he's compassionate in that way. He's the God of the second chance. You know, Jonah had ran from God in disobedience. But God wouldn't let him remain in that position, would he? You see, God is not slack. Listen to what it says. He's not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's 2 Peter 3. Now, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad I should have died and went to hell long before I came to know Christ? 28 years old before I came to know Christ, and I look back and I think about the near death, brushes with death that I had. Should have been dead. Should have never been standing here as your pastor preaching the Word of God. I'm so glad he had compassion on me and that he was long-suffering and that he had a plan. And you know what? I can look back and see all these things that he orchestrated in my life, get me in position that on February 28, 1990, that I would call out to God and ask him to save me. And look where he has me today. Praise God, if he can save me, he can save anybody this morning. If you're looking for a God, if you're looking for some compassion this morning, turn to Christ. Turn to God through Jesus Christ. He loves you and he has compassion. You see, I want you to know something. Please don't miss. God had his eye on his runaway prophet and he was orchestrating his life. But I want you to know he was also seeing a Nineveh full of lost people. And he had that plan. We're going to see that come out. Jonah 3, look, it opens up the same way that Jonah 1:1 looked. Look at Jonah 1:1 if you go back. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, look, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. And then we get to 3, it says, in verse 2 there, it says, arise and go to Nineveh again. The word of the Lord, verse 1, it came to Jonah again. It's the same thing. He's coming back. Has he ever brought you around full circle? Have you ever run from God? He brings you right back again. There's Jonah standing there. Exactly the same way things started. Where are you in your walk with the Lord this morning? Just a question. Are you running? Are you bucking against the things of the Lord? Has God called you to a certain thing and you've turned your back on that? And you think, well, it could have been a long time ago. You say, well, he's forgot about that. Guess what? He's not. God doesn't forget. Where are you at this morning? Are you running with God? Are you doing the things of obedience that he's called you to do? Do you realize, just like I'll tell those young people tonight, 10, 11-year-olds, just like I told the youth, you can ask them today, that they are just as important as I am, or Sandy, or anybody in this church. You are as important as anybody, and God has brought you here for a purpose. You have gifts and you have talents, and He wants to use that here in serving in His local body. We've got, and I was challenging them today in our lesson to quit thinking about what I could get for church. See, so many times it's, if I'm not getting what I want, then I'll go to the next one. And my needs are not getting mad, or we get mad and we leave. Those kind of things. When we go to receive, you know what? When we go to receive, sometimes we come up very lacking, but when we go to give, oh, my friend, you can't tap the bottom of that. Come to give. And Jonah, he's reaching out. You know what? He's telling him. He said, turn from your disobedience. And now he has Jonah right here. His compassion and grace is meeting Jonah right where he's at. And he's saying, now, Jonah, go do what I told you to do to begin with. Why? Because he's compassionate. Well, not only is he compassionate, I want you to look in verse 2. He's consistent. Look what he says. Verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I will tell you. Now, what did he say over and back? Remember, we've already read that back over in chapter 1, verse 1. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up to me. Doesn't it sound very familiar in verse 2 of chapter 3? Arise and go to Nineveh. Duh. Jonah, are you hearing me? Are you getting it, Jonah, this morning? I need you to go to Nineveh. Why? There's a bunch of lost people out there that need to hear my word. Jonah, I love this, but Jonah's response, we're going to see that in a little bit. God is consistent. In his first commission to Jonah, now there is a little difference there. In verse chapter 1 and verse 2 and chapter 3, what does he say? First he said, go and cry out against it. Now he's saying what? Go preach to it. I said, what or what? God doesn't change. God didn't change. But you know what? Jonah had. Jonah had. Why? He took a fish ride. Yes, he had. He'd been out on the storm of the sea, and he had took a fish ride, and I believe that he was a little more cooperative, don't you? I believe he was a prophet that was ready to listen to what God had to say. Instead of crying out against it, Jonah, I want you to go and preach to it. I think it shows you a little more of a cooperative prophet, don't you? I want you to overlook this, please. Jonah still had a plan. I mean, God still had a plan for Jonah's life, just like he does for you, by the way. Still got a plan for Jonah's life. You know, when we make bad choices and are disobedient to things of God, when we repent, Satan makes us feel like we're unusable. Don't listen to the lies of the devil this morning. Don't ever let him tell you that you're unusable, that you've done things that God could never use you. That's a lie from Satan, and that's what he wants. Can you imagine, Jonah, when God said, Jonah, go back, go to Nineveh. Go do what I did to tell you. He still had a plan for Jonah, even though he had been disobedient, even though he had ran. I love Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has a plan for you this morning. He has a future for you. Don't listen to Satan. Don't listen to his lies that says you're not, you've done these things, you've messed up, God can never use me. Listen what? God is a God of compassion. He's consistent. If you turn to him, you know what? He will use you right where you're at. He loves you. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we want to sing along with old Blue Eyes. I mean, you know, some of you young people might not know. Who's old Blue Eyes? What did he sing? I did it my way. Listen, I wonder how that's working out for him right now. I hope to God that he had Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Because I'm going to tell you something. The road to doing it your way leads straight to a devil's hell this morning. It's not my way. It's not doing it my way that counts. And I'm going to tell you the individualism of America panders to that. It wants you to think, just do it your way. Do it as much as you can, as often as you want to do it, because you have the right to do it. When God says, I want you to do it my way. He's consistent. He told Jonah, go and preach to Nineveh. There's only one way to do anything. What way is that? God's way. God's way. It's not always pleasant or pretty like you want it to be, but God's way is the way that leads to peace with the Father. God's way is the way that leads to of men and women and boys and girls coming to know Jesus Christ. God's way is the way that can change a nation from being completely godless to turning back to the God that created it. It's God's way. God's way. It, obedience. Listen, I'm going to give you the secret.
Ready? Obedience is the secret to spiritual power in your life. Obedience. If you're one of them, you know what? I just don't have any power. I just don't, Lord, I remember when you used to use me. Lord, I remember when your presence felt so real. Obedience is the secret to spiritual power in your life. Are you sure you're being obedient? Are you doing everything God's doing? Are you doing the things that you want to do when you want to do it? Have you ever ran from God? Have you ever ran from God? I got to share a little story with you, if that's okay. Personal story about Dave and Sandy Cooper. Y'all want to hear a story? God called me into ministry at 41 years old. I was at Dana Corporation 21 years. I had it all planned out. 9 more years. I'd be retired right now, 401k, packing it back like a little squirrel. I was doing the American dream. Now, I'm not dissing somebody. There's nothing wrong with American dream, as long as God's in it and that's what he wants. But that was Dave's dream, and he had a plan. He wanted us to go into ministry, and he called Sandy and I, and we heard the call of God at an old missions conference in Valdez, North Carolina. I heard the call of God. He brought the guy in, and man, it's like he sat down with me for 6 months, and it scared the pants off of me. I knew I'd either answer the call of God or I was leaving the call of God. And I was standing at that crossroads. God will bring you to that place. And so we answered the call of God, and you know what? In our preconceived notion, because we were in the missions and all and love missions and still do, we thought we're going to be international missionaries. So God, where do you want us to go? Where do you want us to serve, Lord? You know what he said? Go to school. Ooh. Go to school. I didn't like it when I was in it for 12 years, Lord. And you want me to go back to school at 41 years old? You know what? And I said, no, surely that ain't a God. That's indigestion. So, you know what we did? We started traveling around the world. I am thankful for that, by the way. That we've got to see the things. Other countries, you just don't realize how blessed that we are. Got to meet brothers and sisters around, but the whole time I was saying, God, where do you want me? God, where do you want us? We just want to be planted somewhere. Just show us where you want us. You know what he kept saying? Little still small voice, he wasn't wearing me out. School. School. And I was like, no way. That's the last place I'm going to go. After a year of that and realizing, you know what? God's not giving us any direction. He's not showing us anything. You know what he said? I want you to go to school today. I've been right here. I want you to go to school. You know what we said? Lord, we'll go to school. We'll go to school. Sold our house, took the kids with us, and we went to school. Moved into college housing at 41 years old with two teenage kids. We're surrounded by a bunch of teenage girls, you know, teenage boys and girls or our young married couples. We became mom and daddy to everybody. It's one of the best times of our life, by the way, ministering to them. But there we are. We moved into that house, you know what, and we realized and moved in that apartment, we realized that's exactly what God wanted us to do. And you know what? When you stop kicking against the goats and you're right where God wants you to be, you can't beat it. Oh, we still thought we were international missionaries. You just wanted trained ones. Guess what? Here I stand this morning. You're an international missionary. This is where he wanted me, okay? But I wouldn't let go of what I thought he was doing. I would not, and it wasn't until I opened my hand and said, God, just take us wherever you want us to go. That's when fulfillment came into our life, and it wasn't a matter of chasing a dream, trying to figure out what God wanted us to do, but it was living a dream because I'm your pastor today, and I'm so thankful for that. But God wants that for each and every one of us this morning. That's not a unique trip for Dave. He wants it. It might not look the same way. It might not be packaged in the same way it is, but he wants that from each and every one of you. He wants you to find your obedience in serving him. He has you at South Fork Baptist Church for a reason. It's not a coincidence. What is it that he wants from you? That great city, he says. You know what? It didn't mean very much to Jonah, did it? It mean very much to Jonah. Why? He was trying his best to get as far away to begin with, but you know what? It meant a lot to God. So glad. It meant a lot to God because you know what? In the Old Testament, the Jews were mostly the only ones that ever got saved, wasn't it? But God had his eye on a bunch of old Gentiles, and here we see it. Look, Christ had a plan. God had a plan in Christ that we would be brought into the family of God through Jesus Christ. So thankful for that. He's compassionate and he's consistent. And I like this. Jonah didn't have to scratch his head and said, I wonder what I'm going to say. What did God tell him? You preach the message that I will tell you. That's what he said. I will tell you. Well, not only is he compassionate and consistent, but he's committed. Look at 3 and 4. So Jonah arose, went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You know what? God is committed this morning. What's he committed to? His mission. What is his mission? That men and women, boys and girls will hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's committed because here he is, this old prophet that he's took and he's wore out and he's taught him. And you know what God's committed to? Go tell them, Jonah, what I tell you to say. Jonah's finally getting it right. Think about it. He's run from God. He's run back to God in prayer. But you know what? Now he's running with God. That's where he wants us to be this morning. He wants us running with him, running back, because God has a heart for the nations, guys. It's all about the gospel. It's all about getting the message and the light out that Barry talked about. What is the light that we shine? It's the light of Christ and salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's the light that the dark world needs to see. He says, an exceedingly great city in size and in sin, but you know what? Also in the heart of God. Nineveh was a great city to him. Think about the cities. I couldn't help when I read this. Think about Jesus when he looked out over Jerusalem. What did he do? He wept. He cried. He had that compassion. Why? These were the very ones that, it's a matter of time, would be putting him on a cross and crucifying him, and yet he stood there and he wept over that city. Do you see the heart of God? Boy, I tell you, he loves lost people. He loves them enough that he sent Jesus Christ to die in their place. Christ walked this earth, perfect man, died on a cross, buried, but rose again on the third day, that anybody, whosoever will, who does that fit? That's anybody. Anybody would believe on that sacrifice as payment for their sin. Ask him to forgive and turn in. You know what? The Bible says you will be saved. That's the God we serve. William Booth, he said, listen to what William Booth said. When I got the poor of London on my heart and the vision of what Christ could do, I decided he would have all of William Booth there was. Who was William Booth? The founder of Salvation Army. Can one man make a difference? It's obedience to God. Well, every time this year when they're out there at Walmart and you hear those little bells ringing, that's what one man, he said, when he got the poor in London, he realized that's what God wanted him to do, and you still, the bells are still ringing. That's what he can do with everybody here. Can he change the world with one man? Yes, he can. Or one woman? They can make a difference for Christ. God wanted Nineveh warned. And he was committing to get the job done and accomplished. Jonah knew the heart of God. He knew that he was full of compassion. He didn't want the Ninevites to come to know Christ. He wanted them destroyed. And we'll see that in chapter 4. You know what? God is looking for men and women and boys and girls that are sold out to his mission. Is Todd important to you this morning? Is Boone? Is West Jefferson, wherever he's placed you? Is it important to you this morning? It's important to God. It's so important that he's called you to be missionaries there. That he saved you, and he saved you for a purpose that you could take the light and the gospel out to your community, out to your workplace, out to your school. Is it important to you this morning? You know, I love this. God had gotten the disciple or his prophet's attention, hadn't he? Because what does he do, man? So Jonah rose. He didn't arise this time to go to Tarshish, did he? Which word he's doing? He's headed for Nineveh, man. He got the message. He got the message loud and clear. It says, he arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. He's obedient now, and he's walking in obedience. He didn't even hesitate. And he began to preach as soon as he arrived, didn't he? That's what it says. I want you to please look at the message this morning on what Jonah preached. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I'm going to tell you now, where's the points? Where's the sub-points? What a message. Is this this wouldn't be a great message. I want you to understand something. It's not real wow and entertaining message, is it? I want you to please understand this morning that I am not here to entertain you. I am not here to make you feel good about certain situations. I am here to preach the Word of God. And when we don't do that, when men get up here and they don't do that, they're doing God a terrible disservice. And it's not about entertaining you or making you stay locked into these things. You know what it's about? Don't tell me that the message was a good message if it's not changing your life. The Word of God's supposed to change us. I'm talking about me too. It's supposed to catch us right where we're at. It's not supposed to be for entertainment. It's not like sitting down watching a TV show. It's about God's Word. And you know what? When God's man is preaching God's Word, something's going to happen. We'll see that next week. Well, what much of a message was it? Yet 40 days and Nineveh's going to fall. That's all it was. He's crying out. Can you see him going through? And we'll talk about that a little bit. How in the world did he draw such a crowd? You're going to be surprised. You'll be surprised at what I believe, how he drew his crown. He wanted them to know, he wanted Nineveh to know that God had a plan for Nineveh, and if they didn't turn and repent, what was it? Destruction. 40 days. You hear the clock counting? When he preached that message, the clock started, by the way. 40 days, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. That was his message. You know, that's what God's committed to this morning. Reaching men and women, boys and girls, with the message of the gospel. When Christ came and he died on that cross, when he died and then he resurrected again, you know what? The clock started ticking. And there's just a matter of time before it's over. And he comes back again. The clock is ticking on a lot of people this morning. In fact, there's probably 4.5 billion people that don't know Jesus or the name of Jesus. The clock is ticking. It could be ticking on somebody here this morning. If you've never received Christ, the clock is ticking. And it could run out before this service is over here today. You see, God has a heart this morning. You might have thought that you came here just for one thing, and God had another plan, and that was that you needed to hear the message of Jesus Christ and realize this is what I need. You might have heard it 100 times, but you've never really received it in your heart. It's time to quit running away from God and running with God. Aren't you tired of the same old, same old? Are you tired of your life having no power, no relevance? You're just going through the movements, the routine of life, never experiencing the power of God in your life and what He can do if you just run in obedience to Him? Well, we've got applications. And then we'll be finished. Number one, what does God want you to do this morning? What does He want you to do this morning? You say, what are you talking about, Pastor Babe? What has God said to you in His Word today? In a little bit, we're going to have a time of invitation. We've done it. We do it every Sunday, don't we? That's not mean that this is same old, same old. That means this is for you. If God's spoken to your heart, please don't be disobedient. Just come forward, spend time with God. This is like family time, okay? We're just like family. That's all we are. Don't sit in your seat because you're worried about what somebody's going to think. That ain't this kind of place. It should never be. If it is, you need to come to me if you've got that problem. This is family time. This is time that we're spending, and we're going to spend in time with God. If God's spoken to you this morning, you know you need to make a move. Come up here because your disobedience could be hampering somebody else, by the way. If God showed you that you're lost, if you've never received Jesus Christ, you know that right now. The Holy Spirit shows it to your heart. Your heart misses a little beat even when I say that. You know it. Your heart's beating. You need Jesus. You come forward at our invitation time. What does He want you to do this morning? Number two, has Satan been holding you back because of your past? You got something in your past that you just can't get over? Satan's keeping you from working and serving the Lord. If you got some hang up with somebody or somebody's hurt your feelings that you know what? I just got to let that go. Or number three, This is the one I want you to think about. Are you committed to the mission of God? When's the last time that you told somebody about Jesus? That'll show you how committed that you are. When was the last time you shared Christ with somebody? Are you committed to the mission of God? Did you ask somebody to come to church with you this week? Did you ask somebody to come and hear the message of God? Something for us to think about. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Maybe you come play. Maybe you come. Lead us in a time of invitation. Listen, the Lord's working here this morning. Don't miss out. I don't know what He's trying to do or what He wants to do, but listen, do not sit there if God's told you to do something this morning. I'm going to pray, and I'll be down front to meet you if you need to talk. Father, thank you so much. Now, the Word of God's gone forth, and your Holy Spirit has to do the work in drawing people. Will you draw people unto yourself, Lord? And we thank you. If there's somebody here that's working, dealing with being lost, will you please have them come forward, Lord, and just let it be known? Or somebody that here that their past is keeping them from working. God, you do that too. Whatever you want to do, it's yours, Lord, this morning. In Christ's name. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. Disobedient to God this morning. He will get your attention, I promise. If you're lost, please come forward and see me. Tired of running. No power in your life. Whatever it is that you need, please come. Surrender it this morning. You need a second chance. Today's your day. Last verse. You need a second chance. Just tell God, Lord, just give me a second chance. Would love to lead you to Christ if you don't have a relationship with Him. Maybe walking the aisles is something that you just couldn't handle.